When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Well, the pass across, they score! The Rangers take a 4-3 lead with 4:19 remaining. Long shift and the finish by Chris Kreider. A third period hat trick.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Let's keep on rocking, man. Inside the 9 o'clock hour on The Fan in New York. KM to AM, almost halfway through. Obviously, we're keeping it on the New York Yankees. As coming up, we'll talk about the upcoming schedule and some of the highlights from the Yankees going 8-2 in their last 10, from the Yankees dominating and hitting home runs, the Bronx Bombers showing up, and the pitching being much better than we expected when we were crying for Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell and worried about Corbin Burns going to the Baltimore Orioles. It's a good time to be a Yankee fan, and it feels right again. We've got a ton of calls. I want to keep going through them so that once I clear the calls, I can kind of bring some new topics in and get your reactions, because, of course, we're going to talk about the six-man rotation or not, who comes out of the rotation. We're going to talk about DJ LeMahieu, what happens with him when he returns. I know you guys are still asking what's going to happen with Jason Dominguez. We'll talk through all of that, look at the upcoming schedule and opponents, and back to the phone we go at 888-808-1019. I was just talking to Marco, who just came in here. He's like, we have a new number. There's three big signs with the new number printed out. And I'm like, yeah, it is not rolling off my tongue yet. I got my own way to say the embedded number that everyone, I feel like, in New York sports knows. And now I have to just memorize this one and say it in my own way. There's no way to say it. There's no, like, how I say 877, 337, a 6, a 6, and 2 more 6s. Can't do that with this. Because you can't go 888, 888, right? Because it's 888-808. You can't say 88, because then it sounds like 88. So really, you just got to 888-808-1019. I think that's how I'm going to roll. You're listening to 101.9 FM. Ryan is down in Brick, New Jersey on The Fan. Go for it, Ryan.
Is this me, baby? Let's go.
You're on. Yep, you got it.
Let's go. All right, first of all, I've been sitting in my car at the park here in Brick-tucky. I'm originally Squan High 07. So
I was just about to ask, did you go to Township or Memorial? You were a warrior.
No, I was a warrior, baby. We had mutual teammates, I think, by the time you got to Monmouth. Not gonna troll you with the back-to-back state titles, 05, 06. You know, you could put it all together. I was Squan High.
You guys were good. Oh, man, what was the head coach's name that was
Vic Caboo.
Yeah. He was great. Legend.
I was on his last team, the perfect 12, perfect 10, they called it. We were his 10th. Sectional state title. You know the history of him. I'm not trying to.
Yeah, my best Pop Warner football game I ever played was played on that Manasquan field.
It might have been against me. What year is that?
Oof. 98? 99?
All right, that's.
2000? I think it was Pee Wee.
Were you junior Pee Wee still? Junior Pee Wee?
I think it was Pee Wee.
You were Pee Wees then?
All right. It had to be 2000 or 99. I played quarterback, I played corner, and we went to overtime, and I picked the ball off and ran it back for the game winning touchdown, like walk off. So that was I peaked in life right there.
Cool. Yeah, we won back to back. It's all good. Were you teammates with Mandeville?
Of course. Yeah, Mandeville and I were the same year, and we were two of the only quarterbacks to start sophomore, junior, senior year, and then we were at Monmouth together. Yeah, that's my guy.
Yeah, ask. Well, you can ask Coach Cal too, because his son played at Manasquan. You can ask him how he feels about Manasquan. And we beat him on our turf, and then we beat him at Rutgers. That was the thing. I didn't do anything. But
you got a championship ring. You got two rings.
Got two rings. Well, I got a watch. The second year we got Austin
a watch
or a ring. Yeah, I got a watch. and I jumped in the ocean with it after seeing a prom there.
And lost it? No. I got my state championship ring. I would never take a watch.
Didn't lose it. Just got a little, like, less functional, but it's all good. But either way, bud. Yeah, it's short conference. The only time I've ever called the fan before was my wife was pregnant with our first. We're 6 to 10 months. My son's 21 months, so he's a little bit older than you. But this is the only time I ever called before. I got through to you. I'm so nervous, all this stuff. Either way, I don't want to waste all the time on this. What I want to say was congratulations, dude. It was insane to hear you call a Yankee game. That was insane. Like, let's be real. It's absurd.
I know.
I've
been listening to Susan do the games, and I'm listening. It's such a weird experience. It flips everything for me now. I'm like, I was reading those ads. I was doing Susan's job. I don't know.
Yeah, that's where I was. You were kind of like, there was like a little pause, and you were like, and Susan just rolled. She's the best.
Yeah, and you know what I said? I hope people appreciate Susan more after hearing me try to do what she does.
There is no more appreciation needed for Suze, but on my end at least. But yeah, no, dude, it was so cool to hear you because I got chills. It was a childhood dream of yours, I'm sure. Like, could you have ever imagined John Boy Days like doing this? No way.
Nope. When I worked with those guys at John Boy, I was in the background. I barely did anything. They didn't give me any light. So
I didn't know them or didn't know you then, but I knew where you came from. And
nah.
I love Jimmy. I love Jake. I love those.
Yeah. Honestly, those guys coming in here to fill in for Moose and Maggie in August of 2021, I think that's what got Spike Eskin's attention to start looking through the roster of talent at John Boy Media. And they were on August 6th. Spike asked me if I would meet up with him for lunch down the street from here, like that next week. I looked up Spike's. I didn't think it was real at first, and I looked him up. I'm like, no, he's a real guy.
That is literally insane. Yeah, yeah.
And then I had my audition August 25th. The rest is history.
Oh man, that gives me chills. It's awesome. But like, I remember talking. I have a helper. I'm obviously right around your age, but I have a helper who's 21. He's like, you know, giving me this and that about Susan and Shackle and all these other guys. I'm like, you have to understand that John is absolute legend. No one's going to come close to him. It's just they try. It's never
one of one icon and owned it for so long.
Yeah, man. But either way, besides the congratulations, and that was so cool. And I don't know if there's, you know, anything down the pipeline with that. But either way, diehard Yanks and. Well, I congratulate on that, but we are the best team in the American League. There's nothing like the Orioles are 5 years behind us, I'd say, in that we're used to being there. Like, how many times have we had to go through the Astros and all this nonsense?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the Orioles are
they were swept in the postseason. I don't know why everybody's so impressed with these guys when it mattered most.
Get the hell out of here!
Imagine the Yankees being swept in the postseason in a wild card round, like.
Yes, I can. I can. But there's no Houston anymore.
Well,
we are the
Yankees. Like, obviously, we got swept in the ALCS. Yeah. But I'm talking about Gunnar Henderson and Rudley Ashman. Adley Rutschman.
Yeah, I went to Towson. I love Camden Yards. I know, dude. I know how hardcore these guys are down there. I know how great of a baseball town it is, a football town. Go Flacco, like, oh, yeah, go O's. Like, I love it. But you got to earn your stripes, bro. Like, get back a little bit, O's. Like, get back 3 games. You deserve to get swept, and you deserve to get some criticism, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have one more thing, like, current, if I got a second. 9/11, cross yourself, rest in peace to those who died. But my honest question, because John Boy hasn't talked about it, you know, my guy's on the fan. I love them all, but we're tied up in Knicks, Rangers, and all this other stuff. And I'm a Jets, Mets, Yankees guy. A Jets, Yankees, Devils guy.
Okay.
So I'm kind of screwed up. But who's out of the rotation, man, when the big guy comes back? Who's out? And then also, who's out when DJ? What's your opinion? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I was going there, and I'll give you my thoughts on it for sure.
It's good problems. But I want to hear your honest opinion.
I got you, Ryan. Come to DJ's tomorrow if you're in the Manasquan area that's not too far from the original dance club down there in Belmar. Short conference, short thing, baby. When DJ comes back, I've already said, don't tell me that Gleyber Torres is the everyday second baseman when you have a gold glove second baseman in DJ LeMahieu. Where's he going to hit? Is he going to hit in the bottom of the order where Gleyber Torres hits? If he's playing third base, you would expect him possibly to hit in the bottom of the order where Birdie and Cabrera are. But some people have a sneaky suspicion that they might potentially put him back at the leadoff spot. I say don't do that. Volpe with the hit streak, Volpe getting on, Volpe making adjustments, Volpe figuring it out, and this team winning and rolling with Volpe, Soto, Judge. Don't mess up a good thing twice, right? For the first time when Volpe was batting sixth and they made him the leadoff hitter the fourth series of the year, we said if it ain't broke, don't fix it, and they fixed it. It wasn't broken, and then it was broken for a little while. Now that it's fixed again, don't change it again. So when DJ comes back, they say he's going to be playing third, but obviously he's not going to just jump in every single day. But he's going to come in at third, and I think they'll have him down there lower in the order where you see Cabrera and Birdie. But I think this infield should be fluid, man. I think there should be a rotation. Rizzo's going to need days. I think Rizzo had one day. Rizzo had Cinco de Mayo off, and I think Oswaldo played first base. But Rizzo's going to need days. Put DJ there. And then you could also put, you know, you could put DJ at third base, second base, first base, and you could put Birdie. They're probably not going to move Birdie off of third base, but you can put Oswaldo at second base because we saw Oswaldo play second base and spell Gleyber. So there's a chance for you to take Gleyber and Rizzo out of the lineup. I think this whole rotation is fluid, obviously, except for Volpe. Volpe plays every day, gold glove shortstop. He's really becoming, in his second year, hitting and fielding. You don't mess with that. You leave him there. He's young. He can play. He's figured it out at the plate. DJ comes back. Man, this is a real question. What version of DJ LeMahieu are we getting? I am hoping that we get somewhere close to the end of last year's DJ LeMahieu, that the mayor was able to figure out some things as the new hitting coach. But there's a chance that we get the DJ LeMahieu that we saw a couple years ago. It's just like, he's not there. But man, DJ LeMahieu in 19 and in 20, he was my favorite player on the team. I bought his jersey, his player tee. I had some Rotowear tees. I'm like, this is the guy we needed, right? We had the Luke Voit and Gary Sanchez boppers to go along with Judge and Stan. I'm like, no, we need a slap single guy. We need a guy that once in a while can hit for power, but also just hit it in the gap. And man, I'm hoping that DJ comes back and can just add another bat lower in the lineup. There was also a line of thinking with Volpe and his base stealing. You know, some people were saying, well, you don't want Volpe trying to steal bases at the top of the order with Soto and Judge coming up. You want them to drive him in, and you don't want him to get thrown out. And maybe if you drop him lower in the lineup, you know, he can get back to stealing bases. But just leave him, man. Just leave him. You said that in 10 years he'd be the leadoff hitter. He's the leadoff hitter now. So I think they stay with Volpe as the leadoff. DJ will be lower in the lineup. He'll start off spelling Cabrera, Birdie. But then there's, you know, you already have a rotation with those two guys at third base. You're going to add a third guy? You're going to have a three-man committee at third base? Why can't Gleyber Torres is good as gone? And I love Gleyber like you guys love Gleyber, because we have some moments and memories, right? I remember taking my mom to her first Yankee game. Gleyber walked it off a couple years ago. Awesome. But like, this is a championship caliber team. This is a team that we expect to win. And Gleyber has already cost this team, and that's part of his baseball DNA. You don't need him out there every day. And we saw how effective it was. I thought it was effective. He sat for a game in Tampa. The Yankees lost that game. He came out the next day, hit a home run. He's hit another home run. He's hit some doubles. He's been better for it. So I hope that when DJ comes back, he plays first base, he plays second base, he plays third base, because that's also what they thought of DJ when they first got him, right? Wasn't Troy Tulowitzki here? When they first got DJ LeMahieu, he didn't start on opening day. And they said he was going to be a Swiss Army knife. He was going to play multiple positions. So why can't he be that now? To be determined, to be seen. My guy Morris out in Brooklyn on the Fan in New York. Welcome back, kid.
Thank you, man. Hope you're doing well. I want to compliment you, first of all, on your take on on what Hal said about the tax cut, and I think you nailed it. I think you really said it the right way, and really exactly what it is. And it doesn't mean he's not going to get Soto. Everything you said, I don't have to repeat it. I think you're 100% right. I want to say I have a concern on the Yankees, mm-hmm. and then I want to ask you a few couple questions. Here's my concern. So the Yankees are doing great. The only thing, the pitching has been phenomenal. Susan put out on the broadcast today, she put out I don't know if you heard it, that this is the first time in Yankees history that the Yankees won 11 games where the starters, 11 games in a row where the starter went at least five innings and mm-hmm. gave up no more than two runs. So that shows you the Yankees staff are doing great. Now, what happens come October? Let's say they win the first round or second round. You don't think like the pitching staff is going to wear down? Like, how long could Clark Schmidt pitch? Like, he's pitching seven innings every day, and you get another guy like Luis Gil, who's coming off of Tommy John, even though he's pitching great, striking people out. But, like, how long do you think he's going to be able to do that for?
I don't know, and I know that they're monitoring it, and when we get there, they'll make the decisions. There's a phrase for it that I'm blanking on, but, like, you worry about that later because, you know, those questions will be answered on their own. You know?
Right.
Same thing with Dominguez, right? We don't want anybody to be hurt. Guys are healthy. It's good that we don't need to rush Dominguez back. But if someone goes down, we have an option. We have a guy that we saw do it at the major league level last year. We're hoping he gets plenty of bats in minor league baseball and can come up and contribute if needed. But right now, the Yankees have an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, so the thing is, this is what's really happened the past few ALCSs that the Yankees have been through ever since 5, 6, 7 years, ever since 2017, they've been phenomenal or pretty decent, whatever, depending on the year. They've been very good in the regular season, but come postseason, they've got swept by the Astros, beaten up by the Astros.
Yeah.
Jose Altuve's walking it off. So, like, what's going to change? Obviously, the Astros are out of the way this year. Hopefully, they stay out of the way, but what's going to be with other teams? How are they going to compete?
A couple things that I hope, because it's a 7-month season, an 8-month season, really, going to spring training all the way to October, I hope they stay healthy because it seems like every postseason somebody's missing. And even in this 2022 ALCS where they were swept, Matt Carpenter wasn't the Matt Carpenter we were expecting. Andrew Benintendi got hit by a pitch. He wasn't there. You go back to 2019, I don't know what the hell happened with Edwin Encarnacion. I think he was hit by a pitch, came back. Somebody else was missing, maybe Gary Sanchez. But like those things happen. Like when you get to the late part of the season, guys are hurt, guys are run down. It's they play every single day. So what I'm hoping is that these Yankees are still fresh, still having fun, and that at the deadline they add so that maybe some guys can get some rest days and they, you know, can play their best baseball in October.
Yep. Yeah, we hope it goes good. That's all. Real quick, I have a few very short questions for you. I hope you can answer them. Number one, I want to ask you, did you ever call WFAN as a kid?
Never as a kid, but as a grown man, I tried a couple times, and I just never even got close, so I never tried. I called a couple times and just rang or got the busy signal, so no, I think I was...
Yeah.
The first time I ever got on was once they were calling me on.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so, and another question I have for you, who is your favorite Yankee as a kid? I never heard you mention this. Who is your favorite Yankee as a kid?
My first favorite was Bernie Williams, which shout out to Bernie and Steve. I ran into Bernie and Steve Tuesday night in the Perfect Suite, same place I saw Cashman and Jim Leyrich and Roy White. It's wild for me that, like, the first guy I played center field, I thought Bernie was black. I didn't know he was Puerto Rican. So, obviously, you look for someone that looks like you and then dressing up. At Halloween, I'm like, I'm Bernie Williams. And even in the suite on Tuesday, somebody said, are you Junior? Because I'm talking to Bernie. And Bernie and I, like,
that's funny.
Bernie and I, when we see each other, it's just like, I don't know, we got a lot of energy and like talking to each other. And I'm like, no, I'm not Bernie's son. I'm like, I'm Keith McPherson. So Bernie was my first guy because he was switch hitter, center fielder, clutch, and he, I thought he was a black dude. And then I got a little bit older, and then Jeter obviously was my guy.
That makes sense. Obviously, I'm saying Bernie was a clutch player in the postseason, regular season. Another question. So, what's your favorite place to visit in Manhattan specifically? Like as a tourist spot, it could be a restaurant, bar, or just a park, anywhere.
Favorite place to visit? Well, when I was in the fan cave, I got to live in an apartment. And shout out to Major League Baseball. People thought that we lived in the fan cave. But I had an apartment, 90 Thompson Street. I actually passed it today. And every time I pass, it brings me back because that's the only year I lived in the city for the year. And living in New York City, especially young, 25, it's crazy. So that area down there in Soho where there's like shops and there's restaurants and there's like there's even some like secret quiet like speakeasies and places to get pizza, the Soho area, and even going up to like Bleecker Street. That's my favorite area of New York City to visit because it just brings me back to 10 years ago being in the fan cave where we would watch all the baseball games all day, but then we'd have the nights to ourselves and the morning to ourselves. And
That's a personal answer.
Yeah. But like, I'm not, you know, I passed some bakery, some antique bakery today, and I saw the line of tourists outside, and I'm like, man, I try to stay far away from the touristy stuff in New York where there's people from Oklahoma and Wyoming, and they're visiting New York, and they want to do the most touristy thing that they saw on TikTok. I don't want to be anywhere
around. I'm definitely with you on that. Going on the Brooklyn Bridge, and you can't get through all the different people.
I've walked the Brooklyn Bridge and done all that. Don't want to do it. Times Square, I try to avoid at all costs. Empire State Building, no need. Statue of Liberty, I've been to like 3 or 4 times, no need. Freedom Tower, I haven't actually been to, but I've been through the World Trade Center a ton.
Keith, one last question.
Yeah.
You don't mind. Is there anyone in the sports world, you can name one person, maybe two, that you want to meet and haven't gotten to meet yet?
Anyone in the sports world that I want to meet and haven't gotten to meet yet?
Could be a radio host, a fan, a big fan, like Josh and Passaic. I'm kidding. Or
I would love to meet Josh and Passaic. That's a great joke. That is actually true. But like, someone that I admire.
A player in any sport, or NFL, in football, basketball, baseball, anyone. Owner in the sports, anyone.
I have to think about it because I've been able to cross a lot of those people off the list. I want to meet Gary Vee. I know he's not really in the sports world, but he is. I really want to meet Gary Vee because I want to tell him how, like, when I started off on this journey, when I quit my job in 2018 and I said, I want to do content, I want to do sports, I'm doing vlogs and podcasts. Man, I was unemployed. I was applying to different jobs and I was watching his YouTube on loop. And there were so many little phrases and things that he said that stuck with me. Like, if you're good, what's stopping you? Like, if you're good, put yourself out there, quit your job. Like, no one's stopping you. Go do it. Try.
Maybe that's what got you on WFAN.
It partly did, like listening to Gary Vee's motivational speaking and him telling people about the internet and the opportunities out there. And if you hate your job, quit your job. And if you're good enough, put yourself out there. People will find you. And I'm like, that's me. I can do this. Like, yeah. And even though I was popped, I had no bread. I was striking out. My wife was going to work and I was trying to just grind and hustle and find any way to make $100-$150 a day, whether it was driving Lyft, Uber, whether it was selling stuff on Facebook Marketplace, while still applying to jobs, kind of thinking I wanted to go back to the corporate world doing marketing and social media just because I was missing that consistent check and, you know, benefits. But I don't know, man.
That brings me to the next thing I'm going to say. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
One last thing and I'll hang up because I don't want to take too much time. If anyone tells you, again, or anyone tweets at you or says anything that they think you were bad at the broadcast, there's one word you have to tell them. They're jealous. They're jealous that they're never going to make it on the Yankees broadcast.
Yeah.
And they're never going to make it even on WFAN or nothing. They don't even call WFAN. They don't show their face. They're nothing.
I get a lot of negativity.
They say
I'm used to it because it's the culture of the internet and I know these people are clowns. When I meet people in real life, it's all love. It's, yo, can I get a selfie? You're the man. Only place that I get the hate and the negativity. Even, like, I tried to stay off Twitter on the broadcast the first night because people were hating. I'm like, and they're adding me. And I'm like, I can't. I was overwhelmed. It was system overload. I'm like, I can't take the negativity on top of, like, trying to do this job. But it does not faze me, man. I'm so blessed. to get to do what I love to do, and people receive me the way that they do. Nobody is breaking my stride. Nobody is knocking me off. These losers online, that is exactly what they are. They're losers online. They throw stones and hide their hands. They're not like that. When people see me in person, I
did a great job, Keith.
Thanks, man.
You did a great job, and like you said, it shows that Susan Waltman is Susan Waltman, and you weren't trying to be Susan Waltman. You just tried to be Keith McPherson. You're the best man in the world. Have a good night. Thank you for taking my call.
Appreciate it, Morris, man. You guys are nice. That's another thing. Like, people don't call up and be like, you're a clown, you're a bozo, you're an idiot, you're a loser, this guy sucks, because then you have to deal with me. Like, then, like, you have to be on air. Like, this is live for everyone to hear. I never get that energy face-to-face. I'll be a DJ tomorrow at some point. There won't be one person to come up and be like, you suck, you were terrible on the broadcast. Because people aren't generally like that, and you can't get that off in person. And not for nothing, when you see me, like, I'm not a little pipsqueak. I'm not short. I'm not small. Like, I play Division I football. I'm in shape. And even that aside, I'm a nice guy. I'm nice to everybody. I treat everyone with respect because that's how I want to be treated. I treat everyone with the same level of importance and the same way I treat callers. Like, I don't know where you guys are calling from as far as, like, you could be anyone. I don't know your jobs, professions. I don't know any of that about you, but I give you the time of day to speak on air because that's what I would want. That's what I would want in return if the... you know, roles were reversed. So,
your official station to talk New York Rangers.
I think it all comes down to Chris Kreider. I think I put the bet in. Rangers going to win. Kreider, anytime goal. And, you know, let's go Rangers.
The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
And here we go. 888-808-1019. New phone number to join the show. We're on the other half of a five-hour KM to AM, and I will definitely start to mix in some conversation around the rest of the teams in New York. But obviously, the Yankees right now are worth all of our time and discussion, and there are plenty of Yankee fans on the line that want to talk to me, so... let's get back to them. We've hit on Hal Steinbrenner's comments. I have no problem with them. I think he's right. I think he's correct. I think you guys got to look more for context, understand who he was talking to, where he was talking, why he was saying what he's saying, and look at the team and look down the line and where we're headed, but also not get so frustrated and fall back on the same old things that Yankee fans say. I think the Yankees are not going to do a six-man rotation when Gerrit Cole comes out. Or comes back, somebody will come out. I'm not sure exactly how they're going to play that. I'm wearing a Luis Gil t-shirt, and I know nobody wants to see him get removed, but he might be the most likely, just being young and having an innings limit, coming back from Tommy John, even having options to be sent down. DJ LeMahieu will be back on this road trip, and he's going to start off playing third base. I would not like to see him lead off. I'd like to see him lower in the lineup, at least till we see what he is, see him get going. I'd also like to see him spell Gleyber Torres at second base and Anthony Rizzo at first. Jason Dominguez, you know, don't worry so much about Jason Dominguez joining this team. It was a short little sample size that we saw of him at the end of last year. Great that he was able to play at this level and show us that at 20. But he's a 21-year-old kid coming back from surgery, and he's got to get plenty of at-bats, and he's not really needed on this first-place Yankee team that's absolutely rolling. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Evan in Manhattan. What's up, Evan?
How you doing, Keith?
Good, man. Thanks for checking in.
All right. Hey, listen, I got to tell you one thing before I get to the Yankees starting rotation, and you are my guy. You listen to people, like you once said, just because you're a host, like some of your counterparts in the other shows, doesn't necessarily mean you know boatloads more, you know, than the callers. We see eye to eye on the Giants, but I called in several weeks ago and I told you you're my man, but you were wrong about Volpe being a mistake at leadoff. And I know you're man enough to admit you were wrong now.
Oh, I'm happy to be wrong. I'm happy to be wrong that Judge isn't hurt. I'm happy that Volpe is able to, you know, figure it out in the last few weeks, and not just figure it out, thrive at the leadoff spot. I'm happy to be wrong. Yeah, this is good. This is I'm a Yankee fan. Ultimately, the worry and the negativity that Yankee fans have, like, it's different. It's different from some of the Yankee fans saying, like, Judge is washed, he's cooked. I never said that. I said there's something wrong with the guy. He doesn't look like himself. Now you see what I'm saying. He looks like Aaron Judge. And even with Volpe, I just was discouraged because I'm like, man, they moved this kid around a bunch last year. Didn't they learn from last year? I felt like the move was premature, but he's a pro. He's a professional. And look at him now.
Yeah, no, I know, man. That's what I told you. I said, you know, it didn't have, no matter whether he was 7, 5, 3, 9, 1, he wasn't going to maintain 350, and you know he was going to go through a phase, and then he started pressing. But this guy is base running, his stealing, the pitches you're going to see with a guy named Juan Soto behind you. I knew this would happen. Now we got a 16 game hitting streak, and he's at back towards 280, and man, I love it. So anyway, starting pitching. So I certainly want your opinion. We gotta go when Cole comes back. It's got to be some type of hybrid thing. Now, my opinion, if you didn't take salaries into account and stuff like that, if there, you had to say there's got to be one man out. From a talent standpoint, I think even though he's pitching shockingly great too, I think, what's his name, Rodon, he'd be the guy out for me because he's got the biggest propensity to implode. Right.
Yeah, but with his contract and his career contract. Resume, and him being a lefty, he's not. Yep. Yeah, they're not taking him. Out.
Right, but you can't. But you can't take one guy out fully. Stroman's pitching great. That's a big signing. Schmidt and Gill are young, catching their groove. Gill is the Cy Young. First third of the season candidate. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's
he's going to maintain
crazy.
It.
It's kind of crazy to think that this guy was right optioned now. Before Cole went down. Yeah. He was about to be optioned in spring training, and now he's one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball.
That's right. We got the best. You know, not only starting the rotation ERA, we got the best overall ERA in all of baseball. I mean, it's sub three. It's 2.92. I was looking up everything. There's not. You know, our worst starting ERA is 3.27, and that's nasty. Nestor has only been getting better in recent weeks. I mean, you can't pull him. So I think it's kind of like, and you don't want to not give Cole as long as he comes back and he's not showing some ill effects of the injury. Maybe they're going to space him out a little, but eventually if he kicks in, like we know he will because he's so tough and such a gamer, you got to give him a start. So you got to split a couple of people. Yeah. So, I mean, tell me what's going to happen.
Jack Curry at the end of today's game in the post game pretty definitively said they're not going to do that because of the way the schedule is in June and the rest days that they're going to have, and because these guys are creatures of habit and they need to stay on their schedule, their 5-day schedule, they're not going to make it a 6-man rotation because that's going to bump everybody. I thought, hey, why not give everybody an extra day of rest? And they're not going to do that. Nestor may be. The one. Nestor may be the one to either miss a start or move to the bullpen because I think he'll handle it best. He's a guy that has done a bunch of different things, been in some different places, and I think his temperament, you know, he's a competitor, but I think he'll understand he's getting out of the way of Gerrit Cole. And, you know, also, the move is going to materialize. I hope they all stay healthy, but there's a chance that they're not healthy. Also, we're still some weeks away from Gerrit Cole coming back. Maybe he's not as healthy as we think. Maybe he isn't ready to go in mid-June like we think. So, I don't know. It's going to materialize. Well, the move is going to make itself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you exactly. You're going to see how it goes exactly as far as the odds of all six of them being healthy, the odds of Cole not having a temporary, you know, arm fatigue. You know, setback for a couple of weeks. It's a great problem to have, okay? I'm just saying, let's say the unforeseen happens, all six of these guys are, healthy, remain healthy, and Rodon, you know, he doesn't start tanking like we've all expected, but now we're 50 games in plus, and it hasn't happened. He could be for real. You know, I don't see Nestor. I just got to say, with him third in the Cy Young, the guy isn't the hardest throw on the team. He gives you innings, doesn't have a huge propensity for injury. I don't see him going to the bullpen. I see some type of some hybrid, even if they take like three of the six guys.
Yeah, some folks are talking about this, Evan. They're suggesting like a piggyback situation where maybe Nestor Cortez comes in after Luis Gil. Luis Gil gives you four or five innings, and then Nestor.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the Yankees are smart. I think that Matt Blake, Harkey, Boone, Cashman, these guys, they're working on it and thinking about it right now. We're all awaiting the return of Gerrit Cole because, I mean, Gerrit Cole could be, if Gerrit Cole is what he is, it puts us really over the top. But these are good problems to have. It's an embarrassment of riches. It's a great problem to have that I don't think many of us thought we would have. So many people were worried about Nestor turning back into a pumpkin, Rodon not being what we are paying him to be, Clark Schmidt maybe not following up, Luis Gil not being ready, and Marcus Stroman maybe not being able to handle social media or New York fans.
Yep. Absolutely. And the last thing I say before I let you go, and thank you for the time, is on top of that, totally agree with you. I think LeMahieu, number one, his mindset from what we know, what we've heard of him, maybe you guys have a little bit more insight. He's the type of guy that would do anything for the team at the point of his career where you can, you know, you can throw him around, you know, the infield. He gets a game off here, you know, here and there, and he'll do anything, and that's your plug in everywhere. And then the Martian comes back. I mean, it's only getting better. And then as far as Soto, my personal opinion, with all the talk about overspending, underspending, this, I think there's certain exemptions. And my personal opinion, who knows? But my personal opinion is that the Yankees are all in on getting this guy. I mean, young, great, got him. Judge and him, 1-2 punch. The guy is so smart. You can obviously tell not only by the interviews, but, you know, the way he, you know, has his approach to the hitting and the pitches and has his rapport with the umpires. I mean, this guy is a once in a lifetime. And, you know, they made a good move not giving Robinson Cano 10 years, but they got to give this guy 11 or 12 years, man. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Evan. Yeah, going back to Juan Soto. Everybody in baseball knows who Juan Soto is, what he is. And, I mean, to see how he started off his Yankee tenure, I just think you got to be crazy to think that the Yankees are going to say at some point in negotiations, yeah, we're good. We're not going to go the extra. No, they're going to do what it takes. That's why in my open, I was talking about how me going to sleep and Yankee fans telling me, oh, we're not going to get Gerrit Cole. Then I wake up the next morning, oh, you guys were wrong. You said Hal was too cheap. We got Gerrit Cole. Same thing with Judge. Oh, my. It appears Arson Judge is headed to the San Francisco Giants. We lost Judge. No. Hal didn't let that go down. Now, all the reaction to him talking about it's not sustainable to keep having these $300 million payrolls, just read between the lines. He's at the owners' meetings. He's talking to the other owners, right? There's not that many other owners that have a high payroll like that. And just look across town at what Steve Cohen did with the highest payroll in the history of baseball, won 74 games with an asterisk, and punted 5 days before the deadline and paid players to play elsewhere. And they might do the same thing again. You don't have to spend the most money to win. The Texas Rangers spent a good amount of money. They didn't spend the most money in the league. The Arizona Diamondbacks got to the World Series. They weren't in the top of the league spending-wise either. I understand what Hal is saying, and it's got nothing to do with your tab that you ran up in the Audi Club. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That has nothing to do with Juan Soto. That has nothing to do with him saying, hey, in the future, we know we're going to have Judge, Cole, Stanton, Soto with these major contracts, but that's not the way of baseball anymore either. You're not seeing these guys sign these big deals anymore. You're not seeing Scott Boras with these 9-year deals with it's just not the way. So read between the lines a little bit and just understand also that the Yankees have young talent like Luis Gil, Clark Schmidt, Anthony Volpe, Austin Wells, Oswaldo Cabrera, Peraza, Dominguez, Spencer Jones, young guys coming up that you're hearing about, Yorbit Vivas and Ben Rice. Like there's talent coming through the system that's not going to break the bank. 888-808-1019. Larry in Pennsylvania, you're on the Fan. Go for it.
Hey, Keith, great to talk to you, buddy.
You too. Hey, thanks for calling.
30 years listening to the Fan. First time I've called. I'm driving from Richmond back to Pennsylvania and got, you know, not a lot of time. You get to listen to 3-4 hours of a show, but, you know, it's great to hear someone living out their dream, someone setting an example of what hard work and, you know, setting an example for other young people. It's just great to hear. So it's great to hear you on the band. I'm so happy for all your success.
Wow. Thank you. That's it. You don't have any takes?
I have other things. I just wanted to start with that. It's great to hear. I'm, you know, lifelong Yankees fan. I'm so passionate about the Yankees. I love hearing someone, hearing you just give your experience of, you know, this weekend calling games and, you know, almost bringing to tears. You know, I can just imagine. It's great to hear. You just relay those emotions and how important it is to you. Because I would be the same way, and I think most Yankee fans would be as well. So it was great to hear. On to the Yankees. Yeah, no, it's great. So I am I'm an optimist like you. I don't get into too much of the detracting, and I just try to enjoy being a fan of the best sports franchise in the world. But, you know, I said years ago to my wife, who's also a Yankees fan, I didn't think the Yankees would win another championship until they gave up and got rid of Sanchez and Torres. So we're halfway there. I feel like hopefully here in the next few weeks, maybe with LeMahieu coming back, maybe we can start to see, I don't know, I feel like we've just given too much automatic to Gleyber, you know, playing every day, automatically getting ridden in the lineup. Yeah. I feel like it's getting time, and I know you think after this year, but I'd love to see DJ come back, have some success, and then kind of phase out Gleyber and have, you know, I think that takes this lineup, even as great as it's been, to another level if DJ comes back and he replaces Gleyber in that lineup.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Larry. The compliment. I tried to share as much as I could on social media, Instagram, Twitter, different platforms. I'll go live on TikTok in a little bit. So, like, you know, while I'm living this dream, I can show some young people and some older people what it looks like. And, you know, the first thing I said after the whole experience this weekend was a thank you to the fellow Yankee fans, because, like, I don't get here without you guys lifting me up. I don't get here without you guys supporting me. I don't get here without, you know, you guys understanding that I'm just like you. I'm one of you. I'm not a media member. I mean, I'm a media member, but, like, if I never made it in the media, I'd still be doing the same thing I was doing, going to the stadium, kicking it with the creatures and you know, being with the fans. So it's just organic. It's authentic. It's real. So I thank you guys for calling up and, sharing your side of it, you know, seeing me live this dream. Larry's comment about Gleyber Torres, right? He said something along the lines like, I know you think they're going to see it through this year. I don't want that. That scares me. I am scared to death of losing one postseason game because Gleyber Torres threw the ball in the dugout. Gleyber Torres forgot how many outs there were. Gleyber Torres booted a ground ball. You know what I'm saying? I've seen him do it so much in regular season games. It scares me to think that, like, we're going to trot him out there in a year with this team that has Juan Soto on it and our pitchers pitching like this and Cole coming back. And, like, that's the postseason. You know, one bad play can change a game. I don't know what his value is, Gleyber Torres, now. I don't know if they're going to be able to trade him. I think that he means too much to other guys on the team where they may keep him around for morale. But if you're not performing, you're not playing. This is a production business only. You don't get to play every day if you're not balling. Like, if you're not contributing, if you're not helping the team, especially if you're on an expiring contract. Like, I don't know. I look at Gleyber Torres, and I know everybody loves him. Soto loves him. Judge loves him. Boone loves him. Well, play better. Gleyber, we've seen you play better. And play more heads up. Play more locked in. You can't be falling asleep at the wheel. It's not the year for it. Nobody's stopping this train. DJ comes back. DJ can play first base, second base, third base. And if we're thinking about putting our best lineup together, I don't know, in a month, 2 months when the deadline comes, and if DJ's hitting better than Gleyber Torres, you can't sell me on Gleyber Torres.